As we wait for vaccines, what if there was a test for the coronavirus that could, in effect, do what vaccines will hopefully do, shut down the pandemic? Well, our next guest says there is a rapid home test kit currently awaiting approval from the FDA that people could use just like, say, a home pregnancy test to test themselves and get results almost immediately. No more waiting on lines or waiting for results. Michael Mina is a respected epidemiologist at Harvard. How fast does he think this test could slow the surge? Well, his article in the November 17th issue of Time is titled How We Could Stop the Spread of COVID-19 by Christmas. Of course, we have questions. Professor Mina, welcome.
Well, thank you very much.
So, Professor, Doctor, let's explain. These are antigen tests. The antigen we now know solidly is the invader, like a virus. The immune system responds by making antibodies to that antigen. So this test you're talking about is looking for those invaders. What do these rapid tests look like? How do they work?
They look like little pieces of paper. And a lot of times the piece of paper is encased in a, just dropped into a little piece of plastic. But essentially, if people have seen a pregnancy test, make that pregnancy test a little bit smaller, and that's largely what these types of tests actually look like. To perform it, somebody would just swab the front of their nose, not one of these long swabs that go to the back of their head. You put that swab into a little tube of what looks like contact lens solution, and then you put a couple of drops of that onto one of these paper strip tests. If a line shows up, then you are positive, and if no line shows up, then you are not positive. It doesn't necessarily mean you have no coronavirus in your system, but what it generally means is that you're very unlikely to be infectious at that moment in time and probably for the next day or so.
Now, you also mentioned the nasal pharyngeal, these swabs that go to the back of your head. That's the PCR test. You have to send it away. And while you're waiting for that test, you could be infected during that wait time. So those are the drawbacks there. Now, you've acknowledged that these rapid tests are less accurate than the PCRs in some ways, but not in the ways that count. Because the rapid tests that you are talking about are contagiousness detecting tests. Explain what you mean there.
The difference is the PCR test is exquisitely sensitive to pick up the genetic material from this virus, potentially weeks after somebody has actually been infectious. And so it makes it a very, very good tool for a physician who wants to reconstruct, is their patient sick now, or maybe was their patient sick last week or a few weeks ago? The antigen test, these simple paper strip tests, pick up the actual proteins of the virus. And those parts will only be there when the person has live, likely contagious virus and at a level that is likely to be contagious. And so these tests do a very good job at giving you sort of real-time information about whether you're likely to have enough virus in you right there that is live and potentially able to spread to your loved ones or to your friends or colleagues.
Because you want something that tells people immediately, stay home. And by the way, there are more backups here. You say there's protection against a false positive because you say strips can be added to the test kit to quickly follow up. If somebody tests positive, they can test again. But the point is, you want people to be able to see right away if they're contagious. Does it work if they're asymptomatic?
The tests don't care about your symptoms. The test just cares if somebody has enough virus to likely be transmitting it to other people. There's been confusion because we keep considering these tests as true medical devices instead of public health devices. We keep comparing them to the PCR test. And like I mentioned, the PCR test can stay positive for potentially weeks after somebody is no longer infectious.
What about, are you concerned that now it's in their own hands and they can find out on a daily basis if they're negative? And if they're negative, they may let down their guard. They may stop wearing masks. They may hold a party with other negatives. Your thoughts on that?
That has been a concern. But this is the same concern that has come up over and over and over again for decades for other things. When seatbelts came around, people said, if people have seatbelts in their cars, they're going to drive more recklessly. And so it's not worth it. It will backfire. With pregnancy tests, they said women won't be able to deal with their pregnancy test results. And if they're negative, they'll go out and party and drink when they could potentially be pregnant. And so this is a very paternalistic attitude. But also, the point is, these tests work really well to know if somebody is contagious.
You say there's confusion because these tests are seen as medical devices instead of a tool, a public health tool. And that might answer the question that people, I'm sure, have at this point in our conversation. Why haven't we got these? And part of it is that there's a holdup at the FDA, and it has to do with the regulatory system, and it gets kind of netty. But essentially, you say change the system so that these aren't viewed as devices as much as they are as tools. But that might set off alarms with people. Wait, change the system. We have a regulatory system that would put the brakes on something that isn't safe. So how would you respond to that?
I explicitly want these to be regulated. If we go too far down the road of calling these just surveillance toys, that all of a sudden we'll have a lot of unregulated tests come in. So I want them to be regulated, but not as true clinical diagnostic devices. I don't want to think of every American as a patient. People are people. And so what I would like the FDA to do is to create a new pathway to regulate tools like these rapid antigen tests for the use that they should be intended for in this case, which is for public health mitigation strategies. And once we create two different pathways, then we can start evaluating each test for its intended purpose. Every single test that anyone gets in America still requires a doctor's order and still can be reimbursed with insurance, and so it drives up the costs. And it also delays the FDA from authorizing these because they see them as clinical medical devices. Mm. If we change that, we can start to get the right metrics for the right test.
You and other Harvard economists calculated the cost of starting a massive countrywide home testing program. It would have cost billions. However, you all point out that it would have saved so much money in the GDP because it avoids lockdowns. It would have saved potentially 100,000 lives. That's the case you make. But what I want to ask you is, what about the other important question, which is, will people do this? You're relying on people to test themselves, you know, every day with a strip. You know, many people won't wear masks. Why do you think that important part of this will work?
So first, I want to say that this is not instead of a mask or distancing. This is
right
along with whatever programs people are already adhering to. But where we often go as public health professionals is we take sort of a top-down, more paternalistic approach. Many people don't want this top-down approach. They don't want the government giving them a call and saying, you're positive, you have to stay home and tell us all of your contacts. They're actually avoiding getting tests because of that. And so these tests can be done in the privacy of somebody's own home. And unlike a mask, which has become politicized in many ways, these tests take less than 1 minute to perform, and you do that twice a week. And I believe very deeply that people, even the most ardent non-mask wearers, still recognize that this is a real virus, and they don't want to mistakenly give their 80-year-old parent coronavirus. So this meets people where they're at.
Yeah, you say ultimately you're counting on that people love the people they love. And a couple things you've said, it sounds like a pregnancy test. You wouldn't just take the test and see you're positive and not do anything. When you see you're pregnant, you go see a doctor. You mentioned that there might be ways to do this without going to a public place. You say all our great businesses, phone companies, Silicon Valley, all should be involved in coming up with a way for people to do this, you know, through a smartphone, check in with how they're testing. Coca-Cola should be enlisted to do advertising to help people understand it. I mean, this is, you say, a war.
That's exactly how I think of this. People say things like, this might be expensive. Well, $5 billion is not expensive for a war that's literally cost us trillions. Getting the country's technology companies and using the Defense Production Act to increase the speed of manufacturing, these should not even be questions. If we actually consider how many Americans have died, what the economic and social toll has been on all of us, we have the tools, we have the innovation and the companies to do all of this in a coordinated fashion, and frankly, in a way that is really not that difficult.
Harvard epidemiologist Michael Mina, we'll link you to his writing at hereandnow.org. Dr. Mina, Professor Mina, thank you.
Thank you very much.